pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two begins right now. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Still to come on the program, we'll talk to you about a half hour from now, April Marie Fogle. And also Rebecca Watson. That's in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll kick it off with this. This just kind of news here in the last half hour or so. Montgomery Circuit Court Judge Brooke Reed has dismissed a residency case against Tommy Tuberville. And it's certain to go to the Supreme Court. But if you can't win, I said this earlier, if you can't win in Montgomery County, you're not going to win in the Alabama Supreme Court. This is from Joe Espy, kind of a well-known trial lawyer in this state. The court's decision today follows the Alabama Constitution and the law that has been in effect for generations and generations. Hopefully the court's decision brings an end to all litigation. The decision on our next governor should not be up to any court, but rather the people of Alabama. He goes on to add, Doug Jones' residency hoax just got sacked for a loss as a Democrat judge in Montgomery dismissed yet another desperate lawsuit from D.C. Doug's Democrat proxies, that from Jordan Dufexis, the chairman of the campaign. For months, D.C. Doug and his allies pushed the absurd claim that Alabama's senior U.S. senator for the last 6 years somehow lacked Alabama residency credentials. They were so wrong with the law that they started attacking the Alabama Supreme Court in an effort to blame Republican judges before the local judge had even ruled. Well, that excuse just got blown up. Today's ruling didn't come from a Republican court protecting Coach Tuberville. It came from a Montgomery Democrat judge who followed the law and rejected a bogus lawsuit aimed at hijacking the election before Alabama voters could decide. D.C. Doug cannot run on open borders. Men and women's sports, DEI, defunding the police, the socialist left, are the Biden-Jones record. The Biden-Jones record. So his buddies tried to drag Coach through the mud. Instead, well, today's ruling wiped out away, but away. Coach is now 5-0 against these ridiculous challenges, and we are confident he will win the championship with the people of Alabama in November. So there you have it. That's from the reaction from the Tuberville campaign, from Joe Espy and from Jordan Dufexis, who was apparently now the chairman of the campaign. So 251-343-0106. I just telling you guys, this was going nowhere. The problem is that they're trying to redefine residency, citizen resident, whatever you want to call it. And there's no like textbook definition. Now, is Coach going to Florida? Yeah. Does that make him not a resident of Alabama anymore? That's where they lose me. I mean, you could have two residents. So this just trying to win on a technicality is a fool's errand. We looked at this in 2020 when Coach ran, and you know, he obviously met the qualifications then to run for United States Senate, and you know, it's this. It's not that. It's not that this was even close, but the people in the state, at least the Republican voters, and there'll be the opportunity to vote against him in November if this is an issue. But the people in Alabama who vote in Republican Party primaries did not, they shrugged this off. And I don't think it's much of a leap to say, I believe that all the people driving this narrative are going to vote for Doug Jones. They want Doug Jones to be governor. He's not going to be governor. But that's what they want. You can't win this on a, you're not going to win this on a technicality. Democrats, if you want Democrats in office in Alabama, well, you're going to have to sell your ideas. And good luck with that. Best of luck with that. And, We'll We'll revisit this. Probably not going to happen this time. 251-343-0106. Other news, speaking of, Graham Plantner has dropped out of the race in disgrace. Still denies any wrongdoing. That's going to be a problem for, I think, Maine Democrats trying to win that Senate seat. It's going to be a problem for Democrats nationally who try to control the Senate. It means they got to pick up an extra seat somewhere. In addition to overcoming the vice presidency, the vice president casting the tie-breaking vote in the United States Senate. So will we have leadership elections? It'll be a thin majority, but Bradley Jay was talking about this yesterday. It's not like Congress is doing a whole lot as it stands now. Republicans keep one chamber. I mean, the House, it could go either way. It's a coin flip right now. The Senate looks like it's going to stay Republican. This is for you Democrat listeners who blow up our text line about how much you hate Trump. You weren't able to win the presidential election with a twice impeached, 37 felony convicted, low approval rating leaving office in 2020, Republican nominee. You got waxed. You lost a popular vote for the first time in 20 years. Okay? What should the consequences be if your current Democratic Party structure can't pull off control of at least one chamber of Congress in November? Is there no introspection here? That some of you would say he's the worst president of the history of the country, and you're not able to beat him. One of you will probably say, well, people are just dumb. Well, but you dumb people have voted for Democrats in the past. If we operate on that assumption, you're not able to beat the Republican Party under this circumstance. That ought to be a layup. It's still in question here. You mishandled some of these redistricting fights. You got greedy in Alabama and Louisiana. And the Supreme Court overturned 30 years of precedent here. And you're going to lose. You stand to lose even more. Who's calling the shots in the Democratic Party? Do you ask yourself that? Do you wonder, like, you know, maybe it's not them, it's us, that we need to do a better job? That we don't have the best team assembled? That we don't have the smartest people? These Northeastern elitists who lead the Republican Party? I mean, the Democratic Party, they're not giving us good advice. I mean, I just throwing that out there. I know there's a lot of angst about Trump derangement and what's going on the Democrat side, but they're not really you're not really capitalizing. You don't have the numbers. So we'll see. I mean, I still think it's a coin flip. Democrats should do well. But don't underestimate the Democratic Party. They're like the New York Mets. They somehow could pull it out, but you look at what's going on there and you're like, man, why do they keep trying to give this away? And that's what it appears with Plantner. I mean, I think this isn't going to go well. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Let's keep rolling here. LV writes, went up to Washington, D.C. for at Christmas for 5 days. I was sent toll charges for $186. Well, that's where they get you. You pay the toll. And this needs to be examined very thoroughly with this tolling by tag. What fees are added if you opt to go the toll by tag route? What's the fee they're going to pile on top of that? Toothless Bammer just came from Dallas, North Texas. Nothing but tolls. Not sure if it's all fed. If it's only $2 or $3, that's cheap, folks. Well, it's the way they collect the toll. You know, we had these problems at the toll bridge down at the wharf, where if you proceeded through the gate there and you did toll by tag, you paid the toll, but then they tacked on another $5, $10 or whatever because they had to, as sort of an administrative fee. You gotta watch this one real close. Leo! So when will the Pensacola Bay Bridge get a toll? Well, you know what happened there was they had the hurricane. You heard this a lot over the years. There was just this hope. Well, I don't want to say hope, but maybe this sneaky suspicion that we would get walloped by a hurricane in South Alabama and the feds would come in and rebuild our bridge and build it back better, like they did in Louisiana at the Twin Span, like they did in Pensacola, as you mentioned. The Hurricane Opal, where they rebuilt the I-10 bridge there. Chris, it cost me $12 to go from Chicago to South Bend, Indiana on an interstate of 60 miles. Eisenhower's rolling over his grave knowing that his legacy is being told. It is totally contrary to the intention of enhancing interstate commerce. Well, they built the interstates to mimic the Autobahn in Germany, knowing in the event of a ground invasion, you could move troops around. I mean, the interstate highway system was more of a military Cold War phenomenon that got it. That's what got it off the ground. Pat, I got a toll in the mail just the other day from Pensacola, a whopping $1. Pretty sure it cost them more to send me that letter than it did to drive across the bridge. That's what you got to watch, though. They will figure that out. We have a bunch of money-grubbing politicians and bureaucrats in this state. We got a lot from Squirrel Vereen here. I got to go back. Now, all the Democrats who defended Platt are suddenly pretending he doesn't exist. They won't denounce him. They won't admit being wrong. Squirrel Vereen writes, I want to toll the causeway so that I could drive across it with less traffic. Meanwhile, I'm fed up with commuting to Mobile to fare up and back, especially in the afternoon. Daphne gets clogged, so I try to dodge it by taking 104 to 181 to 31. Entering Bay Kid is a jam. Then he adds, don't say Doug Jones won't win. Republican voters need to be motivated to show up if Tuberville wins. Will the Gooberheads hold no coaches protest? I don't think Doug Jones is going to win. That's my honest opinion. My authentic. I don't think that's a stretch either. Doug Jones, I mean, the reason he won in 2017, I mean, it was a December election with nothing on the ballot. Unprecedented Democrat turnout, probably some absentee ballot harvesting, which is now more illegal. And you had you just had a flawed candidate on the ballot for Republicans. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And the youngins dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried.
Get on me, wanna know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Over and over, everybody made my prediction. So if I get stoned, I'm just
welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. April Marie Fogle up in the segment. Coming up at 11, we'll talk a little bit about Erica Thomas, my colleague at 1819 News, going to call in and give us the deets on what to expect with the toll proposal. We'll call it that for now. And I don't know what's going to be set in stone, but you'll get the first glance at it here on the program. Good morning, Jeff. I agree the Bayway needs to be fixed, but there's also another problem. I-10 from the foot of the bay to the Florida line needs to be six lanes, not four. A lot of time, the problem isn't on the Bayway. It's on the interstate between Spanish Fort and Florida. How does turning a blind eye to this? I agree. The problem, this has been KIV state transportation policy. They don't widen roads to state lines. You ask yourself about 45 and talk about widening that. It goes from four lane to two lane right there to Mississippi-Alabama line. They don't think about traffic coming in and going out of the state. It's more about serving, I guess, the priority is placed on people in certain jurisdictions or certain areas. It's a very insular way of thinking. But if you go up and down the Alabama state line with Mississippi, Mississippi had widened all of its U.S. highways that didn't run parallel to an interstate highway. Probably about 20 years ago, kind of finished it up in the last 10 years. So 45 is one example. 98 was that way for years. You hit that state line. What happened? You go from 4 to 2. You go up 84. U.S. Highway 84, that's a mostly rural route in Alabama and Mississippi. I think it goes through Laurel. But it's four lane throughout until you get to Alabama, and then it goes to 2. 82 was that way for years. They're finally getting around to widening that. That's the route between Columbus, Mississippi, and Tuscaloosa. You hit that state line, 4 to 2. And for decades, if you ever traveled on U.S. 78, it's now Interstate 22. I mean, it just dead-ended at the Alabama line. So it predates Ivy for sure. 72's always kind of been four-lane up there, the Tennessee Valley around the Shoals. There's some discussion about this, like the state of Florida, there's a route I think Floridians would like to see four lane all the way to Troy. And the Florida Department of Transportation is trying to push Alabama into agreeing to widen the stretch of road. It's state route 167 from Troy to the Florida state line, and they are going to do their part to widen it from the state line to Panama City Beach. But Alabama not interested. You just see this over and over and over again in places that, you know, that just the priority. The state doesn't widen roads to state lines. Ultra Runner, I'm so sick of being lectured about the evils that the Western civilization has brought to the indigenous people, always one-sided. Do they ever mention Western medicine, science, law, or governance? How about indigenous society, peace, and harmony? Not the case. It were so preferable to Western civilization that we would have thriving examples. We don't. You just don't go to St. Louis and go to the Gateway Arch. The exhibits there are dominated by this like anti-capitalism. That the evils of capitalism were what led the America's expansion into the West. And it caused great damage to the landscape. And they overdo it. And you know, not spend a lot of time in national parks these days, but the Smithsonian story doesn't surprise me. But when you see those exhibits, there's like a liberal progressive take on history. Well, they text, I remember when the first Dauphin-Island Bridge had a toll along the Wetumpka Tunnel. Man, you are old. Be dark, I heard Doug Jones said he would do a free bridge if he wins. Just going to raise your taxes. Unnamed texter riding around working downtown Midtown Mobile. I've seen a lot of Doug Jones signs in people's yards and zero Tuberville signs. I'm saying that there aren't any. Just what I've noticed. I don't think Tuberville's made many signs, to be honest. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Amarillo,
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll talk to my colleague at 1819 News, Erica Thomas. And then in the 11 o'clock hour as well, Rebecca Watson will make time for us. Please stay tuned for that. Joining us now, another colleague of mine at 1819 News, but she is our Thursday regular. April Marie Fogle joins us on the line. April Marie, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm better now that I hear you've got me and Erica on today. Your listeners must be going crazy.
I'm sure there's a couple, but we'll see how what the tolerance is here. We'll stress test the show this morning.
I love that.
The news here, I'm a little surprised the Montgomery County judge said, I can't hear this case. We don't have jurisdiction. But did acknowledge that it's immediately appealable. Brooke Reed in Montgomery County rejecting the Tuberville residency challenge that is probably has a lot of long faces around the state today.
Yeah. So my theory on this is everybody, you know, going after it knew it wasn't going to succeed. They knew he had probably, you know, run this all the traps beforehand, but it's a good campaign thing to be able to say, you know, we're continuing to check this. There's still issues with this, or, you know, we really don't know if he's going to be qualified. Like the what ifs, people are dining off of that and have been for months. And I just think, you know, I think they're going to keep going just to have the talking points.
They'll keep going, but they tried this with Jeff Sessions tried it when he ran against Tuberville. How'd that work out?
Yeah, well, and it doesn't move any voters. That's for darn sure. It's just a way to try to keep his energy and, you know, keep him distracted somewhere else. And as far as I can tell, that's not working.
No, you're not going to win an election in Alabama on a technicality. Not with the vote. The vote totals what they were, and Tommy Tuberville just blowing out the challengers on the ballot. No one. There was a reason Tommy Tuberville did not have a serious threat during that election. No Will Ainsworth or anything like that. It just wasn't winnable. The voters, exactly. The Republican voters in this state, you know, whether you like it or not, want Tommy Tuberville to be their governor.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, again, maybe we'd be in a different place if we weren't coming off of KIV, but I feel like Tommy's exactly what we need.
Yeah, we've had sort of a 10-year stretch of just this, out of the spotlight governor, right?
Yeah, and she, not passionate about anything. And this is a day and time where you get attention by stepping forward. And Tuberville's done that in the Senate, so, you know, why not bring that home and see what he can do here?
I mean, you know, you lived through the Bentley saga. And I get it. There was just a need to kind of let's just. We need a few years of easygoing, out of the scandal, you know, spotlight governor. And that was KIV. But 10 years is way, way, way too much. I think there's just
way
IV fatigue, you know?
I think there absolutely is. And, you know, the only scandal in Ivy's term was the constant rumors about her health. And, you know, that doesn't bode well for how successful an administration is going to be. If the talk of the town is whether or not you've been hospitalized lately or whether or not an illness has returned, probably could get somebody who's going to be a little bit more passionate and do a lot more for the state.
Don't forget about the blackface scandal.
Oh, yeah, that lasted for 5 minutes.
It lasted for 5 minutes, but they were really worried about it at the time, and it kind of went away. I don't know. It's just like deals were cut not to make a big deal of that.
Yeah, and it worked. I mean, I think everybody got what they wanted for the Montgomery establishment, definitely did. And I think they've already braced for impact for Tuberville. And now we're just going through the formalities of this this annoying court case and everything that, you know, came before it.
Well,
the party challenge and then this.
But, you know, standing off air, and I think you had something to add, but like, we can't win in front of a Democrat Montgomery County judge. You're not going to win at the Alabama Supreme Court. You're just not. And the it's clear there's like written into the code, written into the Constitution, who has jurisdiction over what the governor, who's the governor and who's qualified to be governor. It's not the courts. There's nothing in the Constitution that says 7 years resident citizen to run for governor. You can run for governor if you qualify for the party. You can run as a write-in. I mean, you could, you know, there's a multiple opportunities to get on the ballot and run for something. It's when you're sworn in, then that's when this examination would take place, and it's not going to be up to a county judge somewhere to determine this. It's up to the Alabama legislature to determine if, and do you think the supermajority Republican Alabama legislature is going to entertain the idea of taking Tommy Tuberville out of the governor's mansion?
No, and I absolutely think that the people who filed these cases knew that, and they were doing it for either media attention in one case and then it, to distract him and you know, poke at his campaign name in the other. I think that nobody took this as a serious challenge. You know, a couple media outlets thought that they could, you know, sell some papers that way, get some people to pay for behind the paywall, but that's about it.
Well, I think the Barry Ragsdale thing, I was watching, and this is the only time in my life I've ever watched Joyce Vance's podcast, but it was all about getting into court and getting in circuit court and using it as an opportunity to go on a fishing expedition through discovery. And
yeah.
I mean, it was clear, like, oh, I can't wait to get Tommy Tuberville under oath and depose him. And you're like, oh, I see what's going on here. And yeah. To me, that was like their game plan all along. But we had to pretend like this was a serious challenge when it was nothing but an Oppo research avenue.
Well, and they know, you know, anybody supporting Doug Jones knows that it's not just the math that's not in his favor. It's his record that's not in his favor. And so you're like, okay, well, we got to do something besides run on the issues here. And this is just low hanging fruit.
Well, it's either one of two things has happened with Doug Jones. Either like the Doug Jones we all knew in 2017 who ran and won that U.S. Senate seat was had us all fooled as some kind of moderate Democrat, or that his true colors now are, you know, and so now his true colors are showing, or that he's like what is a moderate Democrat trying to be like this radical woke ideologue. And I don't know, the Doug Jones helter skelter thing is kind of interesting, but it's probably not important because he's probably not going to be governor of Alabama.
Well, I think the mask dropped when he got to D.C. shortly thereafter. Of course, by the time he left office, then he, you know, the rabid anti-Trump, the rabid, you know, we're losing the nation. I think he put up a show, either that or he got there. This seems sincere and real. His, you know, hatred for all things conservative, which is a very odd position to take in this state.
Right. Cause he kind of ran as a guy that, yeah, I'm interested in doing some of these things that line up with the Republic. He never quite ended up being like a Joe Manchin or John Fetterman character. He hid behind the scenes. I don't know if he was hiding, but he never carved out that space where he could have been. Hey, you know, like imagine if John Fetterman were Alabama's second U.S. senator, and you know, like how would Alabamians react to that? Would they? Hey, I like this guy. He's wrong about 10% of things, but he sounds like, or 20% of things or whatever, but he sounds reasonable. But Doug Jones never could do that.
And he did not and cannot. You know, most recently when he went after said he was going to change up the library board, I'm going, who's asking for this? Who is sitting around besides the rabid left-wing women, white affluent white left-wing women, who's sitting around saying, okay, put the pornographic materials back in the libraries? Nobody. And that's one of the lines Doug Jones has decided to stake out in this campaign. He's not taking this seriously, so he shouldn't be taken seriously.
Well, he'll have coattails. The whole reason behind Doug Jones being on the ballot is to at least give Democrats something to vote for, so that like you have a Marilyn Lands in Madison, maybe that Butler state senate seat in Huntsville, to give Democrats a reason to go out and vote, give coattails to some Democrat candidates who do have a reasonable shot at winning a smaller election.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see if the people that turned out for him before, they got, you know, black women turned out, what the impact of the, you know, 6 week, our votes have been stolen campaign. Does that suppress votes to some extent here in Alabama?
Well, and then they had such high turnout relative to Republican turnout on May 19th. But, I don't know that that's sustainable until November 3rd. That was red hot.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, I was kind of worried about it, but there's like two things. Do people start to forget about Louisiana and the 11th Circuit and the Supreme Court and everything and giving Alabama the ability to go 7-0? And, you know, do they are they going to, are Republicans going to show up at a bigger number in November than they did in May, because that's the Fox Newsification of everything. And we know there's all the election and they're really paying attention to it. And that sort of enhances voter turnout on the Republican side in these midterms.
I think so. I hope so. I hope we turn out, in a big way, but just by watching what's happening in the world around us, looking at who else is elected. You look at, you know, some of these Democrats making it through primaries and you go, Lord have mercy, you know, good thing my state's the way it is. And you realize you've got to turn out, because if nothing else, just to send a message, we're still here. Conservative voters are still here and we still matter.
Yeah, well, and so you just wish they would show up in these primaries, but that doesn't always be the case. There's just sort of this the Alabama thing, right? Like the people who really get engaged in local politics tend to be the more professional class, the Chamber of Commerce crowd, maybe not the wealthy aristocratic types, but certainly the people who are engaged in the community, the bankers, lawyers, the realtors, etc.
Yeah, there's a very clear, we know at this point who turns out for those primaries and those primary runoffs, and they're, you know, it's a consultant's dream and nightmare. You know who the voters are, but you kind of can't control them. And so, I don't know. I think we hopefully learned a lot during these primaries and primary runoffs.
I hope so. The other thing about the Republican Party in the state's never been tested. It hasn't been tested since 17, and it didn't end well. But if you got to go fight or flight here, and the fight isn't there, I don't think we're in danger of becoming Georgia. You don't have a major metropolitan area growing in Alabama like the city of Atlanta. You don't have this big migration to the south in these big metropolitan cities. I mean, a little bit in Huntsville, but nothing like in Georgia. So you do wonder, though, if it comes down to it, there's a fight to be had with the loyal opposition Democratic Party, then are we up for the challenge?
Well, and that's why I think, you know, the party apparatus matters so much, and it's going to be interesting to see this November, you know, do we accidentally give Democrats hope in this state? You mentioned that high turnout numbers. There has been higher than before turnout in some of these Democrat areas. And so do Republicans, you know, rise to the occasion?
Well, it's also just the Alabama Republican Party doing the blocking and tackling and not just being, you know, a social club. I think that's where Georgia went wrong. It didn't really, they weren't ready for what was coming. I don't necessarily think what's coming, like I said, is coming here. But you got to be in the back of your mind, especially now that we're trying to be this low tax, recruit businesses, recruit federal assets to the state of Alabama. As we do that, you bring in more government, even though it's just working here, you bring in more government and they're going to vote for more government.
Well, and I think it's, you know, you can look at some things like the PSC, which would be considered, you know, the base losses. And we have had a few. I think the data center thing is really hot. What happened with the Public Service Commission is really hot. And I think we do need to not take for granted that Republicans are going to stay, you know, stay loyal, stay energized and get to the ballot boxes.
The data center thing really, I feel like the political phenomenon of that is a little exaggerated. I'm sure you don't want this causing utility rates to go up, but like something, I think economists talking about this morning, as manufacturing has kind of left the United States, and you see these old mill towns, and they're all over Alabama. But these places like Monroeville with Vanity Fair don't use as much electricity. We do have this capacity on our grid for other things. I mean, now, is it a data center or something? Maybe, maybe not. But, like, this, like, panic over data centers just seems a little phony to me.
Contrived. I think maybe, and maybe you're right. Part of the issue is where they're putting them. They're just, you know, striking the wrong chord with the wrong the lob people. And it could possibly be that that dies down, especially once one or two of them come online, and we see the panic is for, you know, not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, they have a positive economic impact, but do they ultimately, are they going to be the drain on resources? The water thing is, I don't know. I find it all to be a little, like I said, yeah, contrived. And oh no, there's a solar farm going up here, and you know, whatever. But hey, April, we got to get out of here. We're a little long, but folks want to find you online. Where can they look?
Best place is 1819 News for my stories, and then on X at APRYLMARIE.
April Marie Fogle. You never going to have enough April Marie Fogle at FM Talk 106.5. April Marie, we appreciate it. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Thursday morning. Coming up in the next segment, Erica Thomas. Have a little breaking news here. We're going to find out exactly what the Alabama Department of Transportation has in mind for a toll schedule on a new I-10 bridge and Bayway project. And you'll hear it here first. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, please utilize the text line. We'll roll through some text here since we have a guest in the next segment. Mike pointing up here. I'm tired of hearing that the economy is getting better from the Biden years. That's BS. 401ks and big business profits don't equal the economy. Good paid jobs with affordable prices and people having disposable income is when the economy is getting better. Until the 20 million plus illegals providing cheap labor are sent home, you won't see the economy improve. They've been a drag on wages, are a part of the cost for higher housing prices, and a general drain on social welfare programs. Also, tax on the infrastructure, healthcare, education system. You know, you're having to have English as a second language, teachers. There's a lot of things that are that come with that as well. Paul says he'll buy an annual pass. Jim, get a job in Baldwin County. You won't have to drive to Mobile. Well, it's just not how that works. Troy fan writes, hi, I too visited the Gateway Arch recently. The very nice museum certainly attempts to shame white people. I think malign would be more appropriate. Gene, Coach did so much for the veterans of all the services. It must be why he's going to be rewarded with the governor cap. He's going to be rewarded because he won an election. If people are really concerned about these quote-unquote scandals, they would have voted against him. And listen, Gene, they have the opportunity to vote against him on November 3rd. Well, let me know how it works out, though. Squirrel Vereen, speaking of black female turnout, remember the ugly, angry black woman caricature that your neighbor J.D. Crow drew to illustrate that? No. But there's so many J.D. Crow cartoons that, J.D. Crow, J.D. Crow and I saw one of his latest cartoon. He and I are kind of on the same page here. We give credit where credit's due, but he He had the right response to the state fair. The Alabama display and how weak sauce it was. A cardboard cutout of KIV and some peanuts. Now, as Representative Fiddler pointed out on the show Monday, there are some states who just didn't participate, but we as Alabama, as a pro-America patriotic state, should have done more for the country's 250th birthday, for sure. Especially as much money as they spend on tourism and things like that in Alabama. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Don't it make my breath?